So I have come to the intuitive understanding that when I don't retain my semen, yes, listeners, we just went there, that when I don't retain my semen, I feel energetically drained and exhausted, and I feel like the light that burns inside of me, that is like the creative force that keeps me going to do the things that I love, leaves.
Friends, and welcome back to another episode of Elevated Community Podcast, where we get to come together to explore what elevates our souls. This is a place where we get to connect, share, and experience community through deep conversations so that we may feel less alone in this extremely chaotic and busy world. This is a place where we get to challenge our own perspectives and invite new ways of being into our lives, and to open up ourselves and our hearts to the infinite potential of universal wisdom that lives within each of us. I am your host, Mackenzie Moore, and I'm so excited to be sharing this episode with my partner, Joe. But before I get into the intro and some of the topics that we discuss in this episode, I feel very called to share, and I don't know who needs to hear this at the moment, but I feel really called to talk a little bit about some of my struggles with debilitating social anxiety pretty recently, due to just being isolated from the COVID situation and moving to a new place where I don't know anyone. I have just been finding myself very, very scared to leave the house and interact with other humans, and even like honestly going to the grocery store. I feel since this pandemic has really panned out and shifted our lives and the way that we would normally do things, it's been very, very isolating and very lonely and very dark in some cases, and there are always going to be lessons from that, but I just feel compelled to reach my heart out to all of those who may be struggling with really intense depression or anxiety, even to the point that it might be debilitating and that you might just feel stuck in not wanting to leave wherever you are and just very introverted and very like in your comfort shell. Just know that I see you and I feel you and I'm with you and you're not alone, and we have each other through this. And if you ever need to reach out, if you need somebody to talk to, I am here. I've been really trying to push myself to get out of my head and into nature more. But that's even been a struggle to like find the motivation to just up and leave and go somewhere by myself. Joe and I have been pretty much together through everything the last like 9 months, being unemployed and whatnot. So he's been like right there next to me all the time. And so now that we're both kind of doing our own things, it's like definitely some codependency things that are coming to my awareness, and I'm just like, damn, this is not healthy. But also just being so isolated from the pandemic, it's like you get comfortable being alone, and like then you're afraid to even interact and look at other human beings without thinking like, oh my god, is this person infected, blah 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 blah, and like just all these things going on in my mind, and I'm just like, I need to acknowledge that, and move forward, because it's just really not serving anymore. So I just felt like sharing that. I don't know who needs to hear that, but if you're out there and you're feeling lonely and depressed and anxious and afraid, I am with you, and you are not alone in this world, and you have people that love you and care about you, and don't ever hesitate to reach out. So that is that. And so for this episode, I'm going to be speaking with my partner again. His name is Joe Geiger. For those who may be new and may not know about Joe, he is an Isui Reiki master, a fitness enthusiast, biohacker, integrative and wellness advocate, and a, I must say, huge fish fan. Definitely obsessed with fish. And so some of the main topics that we're going to be getting into in this episode are on fasting, being in a ketogenic state and lifestyle. I don't really want to call it a diet, but living in this keto lifestyle, and getting into a little bit of sexual sovereignty. So some of those main points that we addressed in this episode are, well, first Joe walks us through an opening meditation, and we talk about the importance of having a community that supports you. We discuss our experience with living a keto lifestyle and what really prompted us into making this transition. For me personally, it was to overcome my sugar and carb addiction and to reduce inflammation in my body. And for Joe, it was to ultimately optimize his health and reduce inflammation in his body and to be able to have a more sustained energy. We give some insight into our experience with fasting and some of the misconceptions around fasting. A lot of people, and I'm guilty of this myself, may think that fasting is like, you know, a form of starving yourself, but that is not the case. It can be a very intentional practice to connect with yourself deeper and to connect with your body deeper and to give your body a break from all of the hard work that it does to have to digest and process food. We talk about using food as entertainment, the attachments that we carry around food, and using fasting as a way to break free from those attachments. Joe talks about some of his self-care practices and his experience recently doing semen retention. And I talk about how I relate to the word pleasure and some of my experience being in this long-term relationship with Joe, and having certain traumas resurface whenever we get intimate together. And that's just some very deep, vulnerable experiences that I will be sharing. And Joe discusses the importance of having patience with your partner and not using them as an object, and really becoming aware of your insecurities that you may be projecting onto your partner and other people. And I always like to give a disclaimer that we do talk about a lot of touchy subjects, especially around like nutrition. So I just want to throw out a disclaimer that we are not experts on this matter, and we are simply sharing our own experiences. And we encourage everyone to do their own research and always consult your doctor when considering making any changes to your diet. So there's just so much more. This episode is really packed with a lot of our recent changes and transitions and a lot of our personal experiences in being together. And I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm going to keep this intro pretty brief, and just a friendly reminder to share it with a friend. Subscribe on whatever app you're using, rate and review if you feel called. If you want to share it on your Insta story and post whatever you're doing while you're listening to this podcast. That is awesome too. I love reading all of the shares and the shout outs on Instagram. It makes me feel so good inside. And as always, I have provided all the resources and ways that you can connect with Joe and book a Reiki session, even if you feel called. So be sure to check that out in the show notes. And I also have the Patreon that you can check out by visiting patreon.com/elevatedcommunity. And I still have some giveaways and more to come. So definitely check that out. And I just thank you all so much for showing up today and tuning in at whatever time and space you are tuning in. It means the world to me, and I'm so, so grateful for each and every one of you. Feeling you all so much and sending you so much love. And please just never forget that you are not alone. We are all in this together, and I got you. I got you back. You are loved. Enjoy. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Elevated Community Podcast. Today, I am speaking with my partner, Joe Geiger, again, and we're going to be talking about some of our experience doing keto, fasting, self-care practices, his recent launch, and some of the projects that we're currently working towards both together and individually. So go ahead and say hi.
What's up, guys? It's me again. I'm back.
Yeah, I feel like you've been on like 3 or 4 episodes now.
Oh, so, you know, just a handful. Know.
Yeah. So before we kind of get into this today, do you want to lead us on like a sort of grounding meditation? Or would you like me to? Or it can be as simple or expansive as you would like it to be.
You're the professional.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you're the one. You're the professional.
Nah, I don't know about that. I'm definitely a noob in the works. You're
calling me out, and I'm feeling nervous.
It's okay.
I'm like, oh my God, you want me to lead all these people in a meditation?
Aw, it doesn't have to be, like, complicated. I feel like us, as humans, we try to overcomplicate things sometimes, and we get too in our thinking mind rather than just speaking from the heart. So it's up to you if you want me to. I think you're more than capable of doing it.
Okay. So if y'all would begin by getting comfortable wherever you are at, whether that is seated. Note to the listeners, if you're in your car, please refrain from doing the meditation. We don't want any car accidents. So you can begin by getting comfortable, being present in the room, and taking some breaths at a normal pace through your nose and out your mouth. Listening to all of the little noises in the room, being fully present. Feel the air around you. Notice if it is cool or warm, if there is a slight breeze, or if it is still. And let's begin to get inside of our body using the skin, noticing the sensation of sitting, of the weight on your seat bones. Notice if your back is straight or if your back is slightly bent. Just doing what feels comfortable. Let's take some deeper breaths in through the nose and out the mouth. And notice where the breath is. Is it at the back of your throat? Is it in your rib cage? Is it at your diaphragm? And just stay in the place where you can identify with that sensation. If your mind has wandered, recognize that and come back to your breath. Let us take our awareness and bring it back into the room. Feel the air on your skin and the weight on your sit bones. Notice any noises going on around you. And in your own time, gently open your eyes.
I'm feeling very relaxed after that. Oh, a lot more grounded into my body and not as anxious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that always helps to really connect into our body and our heart and speak from our heart and not from our head. So thank you for that.
I think that was the most meditating I've done in the last 2 months.
Yeah. I did peek my eyes open a few times.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wasn't sure if you were going to say open your eyes or I was just assuming.
Okay.
So I always like to ask everyone that comes on the podcast, what does community mean to you?
Community. It means everything. I mean, you know, where would we be without community? Life would be very lonely.
Mm-hmm. So how does having community make you feel inside?
You know, you can live a life of adventure and have extravagant wealth and, you know, have all of these wonderful experiences, but if you can't share that with anybody, what kind of life is that worth? I mean, is it worth even living, you know? So, you know, community allows me to feel validated. It allows me to share things that come to me. It nourishes me. It, like I said, it means everything.
Definitely. Yeah.
I'm trying to ominously whisper into the mic.
Yeah, I'm hoping the audio pops up on the GoPro, that it's decent.
Oh, it's
kind of far away.
No, it's good audio.
Yeah, so community means everything. Community is so important, and that's one of the reasons why we moved to Asheville, was to be surrounded and supported by others who honor and see the potential in us, and vice versa, us supporting and seeing the potential in other human beings, and just the sense of collaboration and creativity. And there's just so much potential for growth whenever we are surrounded by other people who support us and that mirror back to us our own truth. There's so much to learn, so much opportunity, and support and love is so important, especially it being kind of wired into our DNA that we, you know, need tribe and we need connection in order to really live a thriving life. So it is everything, and I 100% agree with you. Is there anything else you wanted to share about that before I segue?
Maybe not that in particular, but we didn't mention it at the beginning of the podcast that this episode is being recorded by our GoPro.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you search for Under the Mountain Wellness, which is my personal business handle, Instagram handle thing, child thing, you can find the entire uncut episode.
Yeah.
Woo-woo!
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to get into a little bit about Joe's recent business launch later in the episode. And hopefully, one of these days, I'll get a YouTube page myself up and going. But it's definitely a lot of work being a one-person do-it-all everything all the time. So, you know, everything's in the works, taking it one day at a time.
And she's not lying. She really does do it all.
Yeah.
I mean, she sits there, schedules all of the interviews, does all of the marketing on her own socials. There's none of this is outsourced, you know.
I
give her a lot of credit.
Yeah, and you know, it continues to push me beyond my own limits to learn how to create and put out content, and it's very much a creative, fun process, but also very, you know, time consuming, along with having a job, being a nanny and all of that. So I definitely do pour my heart and soul into this, but enough about me. So I was gonna go over, Joe and I decided to consult our little spell board to kind of channel our higher selves and our guides to be able to present some topics that are in service of the community and service of the collective right now, and just our own experiences. And we kept getting the message to talk about North energy, which in this guidebook that I have here, it says for North energy that it signifies the element of earth and the power of the physical body. It denotes the power of the five senses and the need to listen to the sensations of the body. If you want to find North energy, it can be found in the rocks, sand, and soil of Mother Earth. To heal yourself through this energy, pay attention to good nutrition, hygiene, body language, and sleep. So that really hit home for us, and we were like, okay, well, let's talk about some of our self-care practices and some of our experiences being in a keto state and fasting. So we're going to get into some nutrition things, and then later in the episode, or even now, we could get into your business launch.
At Under the Mountain Wellness on Instagram. Click on the link tree in the link in the bio description thing, like everyone says, and you can get to everything else. There you go. I've been in kind of a hiatus. I haven't really been producing much content in the last month. I launched it like a month ago, and I had my first Reiki client, a friend of ours, but she really needed some help, and she got what she was looking for, you know? So she called back later and was like, can you do Reiki for pets? She has rabbits.
Shout out to Katie.
Thank you, Katie. But yeah. Back to the self-care. That's what I really want to talk about.
Okay. Where would you like to start? Keto? Would you like to start with some of your self-care practices?
Red meat and saturated fat are actually
good for you. That's right. You heard it here today, folks. Red meat and saturated fat are good for you. That makes up 90% of my diet now.
Really?
Pretty much. Ground beef, steaks, all grass-fed and organic.
So why is it that we've been told that red meat is not good for us and it causes cancer and...
Oh, man. Okay. So I don't want to come across like I'm a know-it-all, but and I don't want to just like kind of, you know, spout things that are not true. But from my understanding, the way that the science has worked and where they found that red meat causes cancer is, I think, in what they call epidemiological studies. So, like, it's a correlation that red meat causes cancer. When you think of someone who eats red meat, they probably also drink beer and smoke cigarettes, you know? And then you think of someone who would not eat as much red meat and eat more vegetables, they tend to kind of maybe potentially be that same person that also shops at Whole Foods. So correlation does not necessarily mean causation. And I don't know. This is a huge discussion. I would really like to gather all of the facts on this one and have it as a full-on episode, because there's just literally so much that I need to gather so that I can give across the accurate information. Okay. Instead of just rambling in circles.
I think that sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds... Okay, so let's segue
however,
into our experience living a keto lifestyle.
Okay.
What, it's been like a month and a half now? Almost 2 months. 2 months. And so let's talk about how we came up with this idea of eliminating carbs from our diet, why, kind of how we got into keto, and yeah.
So we moved out here with the intention of healing not only our souls, but healing our bodies. And we knew that nutrition is an integral part of that whole puzzle. And we got out here, our friends Matt and Kara Tennyson, they helped us move in, and we spent the next 3 days living with them, sort of quasi having them stay here, and we ate fast food and ice cream every night, and we felt like complete garbage. So we decided that, and we had kind of always thought about it, like when everybody leaves and we have our own time and space, we would go on a 3, maybe 4 day, maybe a week fast.
Mm-hmm.
Literally nothing but water,
mm-hmm.
maybe some salt. And we learned a lot. Yeah, there's a gnat on my nose. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I was going to say, like, it didn't make it any easier that we literally moved into an apartment complex 2 minutes away from Cookout, which is like a big deal out here. Cookout is like the shit. So it was like gorging on Cookout every day, and then there's like this ice cream joint down the street with like really
every flavor.
Yeah, really good
The Freeze.
Not yeah, Asheville. And it's not even real ice cream, but it's just,
yeah, it's garbage.
Know, those
diabetes in a cup.
Yeah, but yeah, and just super, super addictive. So yeah, the intention was to really move here and start a new life for ourselves, on a lot of different levels. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, being in a new place, new land, new energy. So we had intentions of completely cleansing and purging our body of all of the maybe lingering things that were following us and some of the previous experiences and energies that were a part of us. In Maryland and just thus far. So we decided to embark on a 3-day water fast, which ended up for me only being 2 days because I ended up in such a deep state of ketosis that I thought I was going to die.
So long story short, basically when you go on a water fast, you're not taking in any food, no carbohydrates, no protein, no fats. You give your body a chance to rest, your digestive system a chance to rest. Your liver actually gets to detoxify itself. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, your liver can only do one of two things. It can, you know, process food or detox. You can't do both at the same time. So fasting allows you to detox. Your liver holds glycogen. So your muscles hold glycogen. Your blood has glycogen in it, blood glucose, whatever you want to call it. When you fast, all of that starts to deplete and deplete and deplete. And then everything in your muscles and your blood is gone, sugar-wise. And then your liver starts to deplete. And when your liver glycogen starts to become depleted, insulin goes way down. Mm-hmm. And you actually start producing ketones. And they are like rocket fuel.
Yeah, and I want to say a couple things here. I know a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this myself, have a lot of maybe misunderstanding around fasting, and a lot of people assume that through fasting, whether you're intermittent fasting or doing a water fast, that you are starving yourself, and there's just like, I feel like a lot of misunderstanding and negative connotation with fasting, and so I highly encourage everybody to do their own research. Fasting is and can be used for many different purposes, not only giving your body a break from all the work that it truly does to be able to digest and process food that you're eating, but it also can be a very spiritual experience, especially when you are entering into a state of ketosis, which is very, to me, felt very primal and like this awareness that was activated in, like, you know, our ancestors, whenever they would be so on high alert to hunt. So it was like these primal instincts were really kicking in, and I got to connect with myself on a deeper level, and there was a lot of clarity that was coming through, and just, it's just really profound. And I feel like a lot of times we don't even have to go into a fast with any sort of spiritual intention. It just like can happen because you don't have the space in your body and the energy from the food that you're eating. Like the food that we eat literally has energy. So whenever you don't have other information and energy kind of commingling with your body, you're just in this full essence of yourself, and it's really, really powerful. And for me, I was gonna say, like, I had a pretty big issue with sugar addiction and just using carbs as comfort food and really just overdoing it, to the point that, I mean, it just made me feel like shit. And there would be days that I would be like, I need some Mexican food. I need some enchiladas. I need ice cream, or I'm just, my entire day is going to be shitty because I'm like craving, I'm craving carbs. So it was like to the point that it was really interfering with my life, and I had, you know, I had to have a piece of cake like pretty much all the time. And, so to just not have to like deal with that, and to also like have those days during your fast to like just not even have the worry about like thinking about food, you know, it's like one less thing that you have to worry about. You get to take a break from it. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, that spaciousness is really nice. Mm-hmm. Being able to just sit there, waking up in the morning, getting a nice big glass of water with a pinch of pink Himalayan sea salt, because when you fast and your insulin goes down, all of your electrolytes head right out. Mm-hmm. So you got to replenish those, or else you start cramping. But, you know, it's You're not thinking about, oh man, what am I going to eat later? I'll tell you, the hardest thing is when you like are starting this out and you are starting a fast and you are on day two. You've already gone 24 hours and now you're getting up to the 48-hour mark and your girlfriend tells you to go to the grocery store to get food for her. And you got to go in there and you're like, oh my God, shrimp. Oh my God, steak. Oh. And you're just like mindlessly, unconsciously grabbing things. I remember when you and I were fasting for the first time and we went into the grocery store together, it was like, oh my God, food everywhere. It's so hard to be in here because we were preparing to like end the fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's, yeah, you definitely start to become aware of the sorts of attachments that we have around food.
Oh, yeah.
And the obsessions that we have around food. And like, don't get me wrong, like we moved to a place where like this is foodie central and there are so many really awesome local restaurants and really amazing food. But you know, it is also COVID and I don't think we intend on going out a bunch and spending a lot of our money right now. So it's also a nice way to save money and eat less and just not be so, I don't know, like I feel like carbs are just very, in my experience, carbs are just very, very addicting and they're so good. And like I can't say that I'm going to do keto forever.
No, but I think we could, you know, phase carbs in, but limit ourselves. You don't need to fucking
respect
100,000 pounds of carbs. I think the thing that I'm learning about and the thing that we are learning about is the importance of good, healthy fats in our diet as opposed to, you know,
PUFAs. And what is a PUFA?
Polyunsaturated fatty acid.
Okay, and where would you find those?
In your vegetable oils and plant oils.
Okay.
Here's the synopsis. These things found in nature, these PUFAs that are found in nature, the plant oils, they signal your body to put on fat. Not saturated fat. Saturated fat's good. That helps you stay lean. But these PUFAs are like chemical signals to your body telling you that winter is coming. They can be found in things like nuts and, you know, plants that grow in the late half of summer. And, you know, a growing body of evidence is showing that these PUFAs are what are making everybody sick. And, you know, everybody got sick from COVID because they're metabolically, you know, not there. They're just metabolically unhealthy. But that's a conversation for another day, too.
Yeah, there's so many rabbit holes we can go down here. So, how have you been feeling since being in keto? Like, what realizations or just, like, how are you feeling overall?
My mental clarity and my health and my well-being are worth more than the joy of eating a dessert at a restaurant. I feel like this state that I've put my body into and just the mental focus and the sharpness and just what feels like infinite energy that I have from my food and the nourishment that I feel. I don't ever, like, I know you're like, I don't think we're going to stay in keto forever, but I don't think I ever want to get out of it. I think that I can learn to work around it. I think that as I'm learning more about the carnivore diet, which is starting to sound more appealing every day, you know, I may not be in keto forever because the more protein you eat, the more your liver converts, you know, amino acids into glucose, because your body can make its own glucose.
Mm-hmm.
That's another tangent just to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the benefits of doing what we've been doing far outweigh the cons. And I don't know. What do you think?
So I'll say it's been really great. And I think after a while, I from what you've told me and from the research that we've read, is that your body eventually will become fat adapted, and it will prefer to use fat over carbs or sugar.
You become metabolically flexible.
Yeah, so it'll be fine to have like a carb based meal like in the future, but definitely with moderation and respect. I will say, for anybody who is considering to do the keto diet, definitely do your research. If you have any like gallbladder, thyroid issues, I don't recommend. And the biggest issue that I have run into is electrolyte deficiency and vitamin B deficiency. So I have to make sure that I'm taking an electrolyte supplement, or just eating more salt on my food and taking my vitamins, which is, I mean, I take my vitamins anyway, but then also using a little bit of nutritional yeast on some of my food for the B vitamins. Super important. Otherwise, you're going to end up just feeling a little shitty and crampy and tired.
And if you're really courageous and adventurous, you can eat grass-fed, grass-finished beef organs like liver and kidneys.
Yeah, Joe's...
They're delicious.
Joe has got me into eating liver and heart, and it's very interesting flavor.
So the reasoning and, like, where my mind is at and where a lot of other people are, like, putting good thought into is, like, if your diet requires you to take a multivitamin, it's probably not a good and well-rounded diet. So if we think about the most nutritious foods for our body, there's two things that come to mind: red meat and organs from that animal. You know, from a 100-gram slice of liver, you can get all your B vitamins for like a 2-day period. You can get all of your copper for a week. You can get almost, I think, 1,000% of your daily value of vitamin A.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the organ meats are things that we've demonized and thought of as like gross. But in indigenous cultures all over the world, people go for the organ meats first because they are the most nutrient-dense things that are there.
Okay, and I 100% agree, and I totally forgot that we've also incorporated that into our diet, and I've actually felt better since now I've been taking in the organ meats and also staying on top of the nutritional yeast anyway. But I was going to say, for those who are listening, but what about plants?
So plants, and this is something I keep learning about, plants basically live. Okay, so plants basically live in the ground, and they have no defense. They can't get up and walk away, right? So they've produced, and this is good for every single plant out there, they've all produced stems, you know, leaves, seeds, whatever, chemical defense mechanisms. So yes, there are nutrients in plants, but they also contain these chemical deterrents to basically discourage animals from continually eating them. Mm-hmm. Ungulates, cows, deer, buffalo, etc., have 4 stomachs. They continually regurgitate and ferment the things that they're chewing up in their gut, and they've evolved to be able to eat plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they eat all day. That's why they get so big. Humans have evolved to eat meat. Some of you might not agree. That's okay. I'm just kind of regurgitating what I'm learning.
So plants were used more of as a survival food.
You know, if you couldn't get a kill, you would eat plants.
And, I mean, I feel like...
But you'd have to ferment them or cook them.
Right,
or...
and then you're looking into seasonal plants, like what was available at that time of year, what's available at this time of year. Asparagus is not in season anymore, right? Or it's not about to not be. So, you know, we have all of these foods that are readily available at the grocery store, but our bodies were and have been kind of programmed, I feel like, to take in certain foods at certain times of the year.
Meat all year round.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, if you could kill it. If you couldn't, then you have
plants so, as a survival food.
Yeah, so that's a that's another tangent that we could go down. And, I mean, nothing we're saying, like, I don't, you know, do your own research. Don't believe everything that we say. We're, like, not, you know,
we're not professionals.
Experts here, disclaimer.
Yet.
but, yeah, so that's a little bit about our experience being in keto, a little bit of maybe some nutritional information and things that we're learning.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
So plants also exist on a toxicity spectrum. So the old adage of eat the rainbow might be okay for some people, but those same defense mechanisms and those toxic compounds that are in plants, you know, for one person, eating the rainbow might be fine, but for the other person, that might be the underlying cause of their eczema. Or their autoimmune disorder. And by cutting out all plants, if you are metabolically unhealthy and you have not been able to find a way to repair yourself, cutting out all plants and getting to grass-fed, grass-finished, red meat with beef organs, try it.
Okay, and there's one more thing that I'm going to say too, because you talking about it is sparking the ideas in my head. Okay. Also, with the low-carb diet, the keto diet, we have been in, like, a zero inflammation state. So now we are able to bring back, like, we've tried chicken instead of red meat for, like, maybe a meal. And chicken is actually making us inflamed.
It makes us fart a lot. So by
kind of strictly reducing certain foods that you're consuming, you're able to kind of figure out, like, okay, this food makes me feel this way. I notice whenever I eat this food, my stomach literally explodes and I feel like shit and I have gas. Like, why is that? So it's kind of a nice way to figure out some of the triggers in the body and some of the intolerances that we might have that we may not otherwise be able to figure out. And, you know, like, I know for me, before I was in keto, like, I was bloated and inflamed every single day. Like, I'm not even kidding. Every single day from carbs. So,
now very it's been... certain kinds of carbs. So and now, maybe even potentially, like, inflammatory fats.
Yeah. So now it's like, okay, like, being on a stricter diet, I mean, it's pretty strict. It just makes me feel more confident and comfortable in what I'm consuming. And whenever there's, like, an alert in my body and my body's just like, what the fuck is this? Create inflammation, whatever. Like, now I'm able to kind of gauge, like, okay, I might have an intolerance to this food. I probably shouldn't be eating this food, or I don't need this.
Here's something amazing, and I'm just going to go off on a tangent. Typically, you know, in the past, I would eat a big meal. I, you know, was spent a lot of time in the gym doing bodybuilding routines, so I am no stranger to chicken broccoli rice. That three meal thing six times a day, every day for months on end. And I would end up tired after eating large meals. I would end up getting sleepy. Knowing now about the keto diet, I think it's absolutely amazing that I can sit there and I can eat a half pound of bacon, drink all the grease, and eat a half pound of ground beef and have so much energy that I can go and do my day for like 6.5-7 hours without getting tired or sleepy or like needing to take a nap, and no bloat, no farts. When I was a vegetarian, I farted all the time, and like I used to think, oh yeah, it's completely fine that, you know, I'm farting because beans make you fart. Knowing now what I know, farting is a really bad sign. If you have a lot of gas, it means that you have food intolerances and that things are actually fermenting in your colon, and things should not be fermenting in your colon. So, yeah.
Yeah. Teach their own. Choose wisely. Okay, so let's segue into a little bit of self-care. We spent a lot of time, almost, I feel like, an hour talking about nutrition and keto.
Nah.
But let's talk about...
This has only been recording for 42 minutes.
Okay. So let's talk about some self-care practices. What does self-care look like for you?
Self-care looks like me going to the grocery store and getting grass-fed, grass-finished beef grass-fed ghee and butter. Basically anything that is a beef product or dairy beef product thing, it's got to be grass-fed 100% from start to finish. Everything's got to be organic if I can get it locally sourced, aka the produce, because we do eat some vegetables, some asparagus, some dandelion greens, some kale, you know, local organic goodness. I like to run in the morning. You know, I wake up in the morning and I run for 2.5 miles around the neighborhood. I go in and out of every single little road in our development. I like to do some breath work. I like to take cold showers. You know, I meditated before this podcast. I don't typically meditate, really.
You want to talk about your Sacred Sons experiences?
Yeah, so I'm in a men's group called Sacred Sons. Wonderful community, didn't think I needed it, signed up out of curiosity and almost desperation to have a group of men that, you know, could create a container for me to be myself in and bring all of me. It's pretty fucking amazing.
So what are some of the classes and things that y'all get into?
So they'll do like a guided meditation council. There's a relational council where people get together and they hold space for men who are having problems with their relationship. The Sunday council, which is like everybody hops online, sees where everybody's at.
You like sound baths?
Yeah, Reiki sound bath. There are a couple of things that I've signed up for multiple times and have not showed up for.
Yeah, which is totally fine. There's so many classes weekly. And are you still doing the retention
things? Yes.
Okay.
That has been a hot and cold item in my life. So I have come to the intuitive understanding that when I don't retain my semen, yes, listeners, we just went there, that when I don't retain my semen, I feel energetically drained and exhausted, and I feel like the light that burns inside of me, that is like the creative force that keeps me going to do the things that I love, leaves. And I have kind of always understood this, and I got on a council call for sexual sovereignty, not realizing that I needed to be in that call. And I started hearing all of these, you know, accounts of things similar to what I had just described, and I realized that I'm not actually alone. This isn't something that's specific to me. This is something that a lot of men are dealing with, whether that's past problems with pornography addiction or men who, you know, aren't in control of their sexual energy and it leads them to objectify women and see women as objects and not as equals. You know, and I think that's a big thing. I think men need to reclaim their sexual sovereignty so that women aren't mistreated, but also so that men can be their truest selves. And did you want something else out of that? Is that okay? Or
yeah, no, that's beautiful. And I think that is such an important thing to share and an experience to share with other people, especially male identifying individuals, that, you know, there is community out there that exists for you and you're not alone. And I know that, you know, I had kind of found my women's groups and stuff like that back in March, and I remember Joe was just talking about like how there was nothing like that existed for men. And he was just really down about it and was just like, well, this just doesn't exist. Like, that's great that you have that, but I'm not ever going to have that. And I was just like, but actually.
Yeah, actually, you just like do a quick Google
yeah,
search
and you
instead
do a little
of
research.
Sitting on
and
your
for
butt.
Me, I'm so big into the like podcasting world that I was able to actually find some like divine masculine focused podcasts, and Sacred Sons was one of the first ones that popped up. And I was like, oh my God, they have an online membership site. This is really, really amazing. It looks very powerful.
Turns out it was very powerful.
Yeah, and had he did need it in his life. He's so stubborn.
I didn't sign up right away. It was like, you know, a month or two later I got online. And yeah. While we were here.
Yeah, it was like all the doors opened up when we moved to Asheville.
And, you know, my first council, not the Sunday council, but it was a guided meditation council. I had me like doing some past life work and seeing how some events that happened in a past life have shaped my behavior today. And it had me in tears. I was like, what the fuck did I just do? Like, oh my God, this is insane. And then like 2 days later, the Sunday council call had me in fucking tears. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? Thank you, Kenzie.
So I can definitely drop the affiliate link that he has for the Sacred Sons membership in the show notes.
Sign up through my link.
Yeah, so there's two different tiers. There's like a free one where you can just be a part of the brothership, and then there is the membership.
The Masculine Alchemy Training, or MAT.
Yeah, which is
$33
a month. $30
a month. $33 a month.
And they do like a 2 week. Yeah, they do like a 2 week trial. I don't know how I know all of this, but I do. Yeah.
She was trying to convince me for a while. She was like, look. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll sign up.
Yeah, so.
Glad I did.
Community is so important. And having people to hold you and to witness and see you for who you are and hear you for who you are without judgment is so important. And I know a lot of us are stubborn and we're just like, well, I don't need that. I have it all figured out on my own. But like, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to be humble enough to be like, actually, like, sometimes I don't have it all together, and there are always going to be parts that need to be worked on and need to be unlocked. And through community and through having people reflect and share their medicine and teach whatever it is that they're offering, it really allows us to go deeper and to open up some of these parts of ourselves that we have closed off for whatever protection reasons. And so, yeah.
Yeah. In the spirit of transparency, since you did ask how my retention is going, I will just let all the listeners know.
To hold yourself accountable.
To hold myself accountable. It's been a big struggle for a long time to even go like 5 days without releasing my semen. But we're on day 5 right now.
Oh, that's good. And I didn't even know that.
A lot of, yeah. I lost count. I completely, you know, it's easier when I'm not even thinking about it, but the fact that it just comes back into my head is the part that makes me struggle. Mm-hmm. It's like so many of my brothers have been like, look, dude, like, you know, if you're in that one place at the right time of the day with the certain thing that triggered you, it's all over. And like, you just got to be strong, but you also have to give yourself grace. You know, you can't use the language of like, oh, it makes me feel dirty or I'm terrible because I did this. Like, you need to extend that grace to yourself and forgive yourself. And a lot of men don't even know that this is a thing, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm still going. I'm not beating myself up anymore. I actually have like 5 brothers that we're in a text chat called Sexual Sovereignty on my phone. I've actually called some of them, not even for sexual sovereignty reasons or retention reasons. It's just like, yo, you're my homies. Like, this is what's going on in my life. Can you reflect something to me real quick? And vice versa. So.
Yeah.
Had to get it out there. That's trying to be good. Transparent as much as possible.
That's good.
It's a journey. Yeah. We're getting there.
I love it.
And I'm going to be reading a book called The Multi-Orgasmic Man,
mm-hmm.
which I think a lot of our listeners know that women can have multiple orgasms and men apparently only can have one at a time. But that's not true, because men can actually have multiple orgasms without releasing their semen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we're not taught, and it's something that has to be worked on.
Yeah.
And it's something that I would like to do so that I can share in that ecstatic experience with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And not feel drained, yeah. You know?
Well, and I guess we don't really have to throw our personal life out there, but
I'm just really not? Transparent.
Yeah, no. And I'm saying this for myself because we aren't very intimate, and that's something that we're working on. And I mean, a lot of it for me is just like having trauma come up almost like every single time that we do try to be intimate, and just having memories come up that are ultimately, some of them are mine and some of them are like, I feel like ancestral in a way, and not mine, but I don't know, it's like it can be very intense. And so it's become something that like is hard for me to enjoy. And you know, I'm also working with some of my just ideas of, you know, really feeling deserving of pleasure. And I feel like almost in a way, in a lot of ways, maybe I just am not there yet, and I'm still struggling with like feeling deserving of pleasure and also learning how to cultivate pleasure in other ways and not just through intercourse, like learning how to experience pleasure just in the day to day that's not just sexual. But I don't know, I want to acknowledge that like being in a long-term relationship, and whenever you start to really open up to somebody and get closer to somebody on a deeper level, it really maybe does become the safe space for some of these traumas to reappear, to be worked through. And I just want to thank you for being patient and always holding me whenever some of those experiences come up. And it's not, maybe not every single time, but it's like whenever I feel in the moment that like we're leading into a sexual experience, it's just always maybe in the back of my head like, okay, this is work, you know, this is like deep, deep soul, physical, emotional work sometimes. And like sometimes I just don't want to go there, and it's just easy to avoid it. But I've also considered maybe finding some sort of like therapist or some sort of person who can ultimately guide us to work through some of these things.
My cup's empty.
Yeah, I feel like we're more than capable of doing it ourselves, but yeah, sometimes it can be intense. And so if any of you are out there going through the same thing, just know
you are not alone.
You're not alone. And
relationships aren't always passionate, fiery sex all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was one of my I guess misconceptions about it, is like everybody makes it out to be like if you're not having hot, sexy sex all the time, that there's something wrong with your relationship and you're not supposed to be with that person. But really, that's not the case. Like,
yeah,
that's not true. It doesn't mean that I don't love you just because I'm having my own experience and I'm having, you know, traumas come up. Like, I want somebody to be able to hold space for me and respect me and, you know, not feel like insecure because I don't want to do that all the time. So
yeah, looping back around, you know, men may feel insecure if their woman isn't having sex with them because of their own repressed sexuality, mm-hmm. and sexual traumas, and that they are not sovereign, you know. Think about your relationship, you know. Do you view your partner as object or as a human being?
Yeah.
That's going through their own process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get upset anymore. I used to, you know. I don't get upset at all.
Yeah.
I don't care if I don't get none. But I still want it.
So, do you want to get into a little bit about what we're trying to create here in Asheville? Or do you want to save that for another episode? Because it is like an hour in. Or maybe we should
Let's hold off for another episode.
Let's do
y'all that. Y'all gonna be on your toes now. Well, yeah, y'all gotta sneak peek. We're gonna talk about something, and we ain't gonna give it to you.
And we're still in the sort of birthing phase of our creation and what we're out here to do. And I know we have talked about it a little bit, but there are some deeper things coming through, I feel like, that maybe we're both playing with right now. So maybe we will hold off on that
for sure
part. So thank you, hun, for being here today and
for sure
going down some of these rabbit holes. And I'm gonna ask just a couple of questions that I do like towards the end of the episode. I'll just keep it short. I'll just do like a couple to really make you ponder and go deep.
Okay. Another 35 minutes. Here we
go. No. I'll just do, instead of like the 5 questions that I do, I'll just do 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So, number 1.
Okay.
What is elevating you in this season of your life?
At Carnivore MD, grass-fed ground beef and saturated fats. That's really? It. Yeah. Really? The reason I feel so freaking good is because the food that I'm eating is so good. Mm. And it's simple.
Good. Cool. Okay. Next question. If there was one message that you would share with the collective right now, what would that be? Feel free to go in and consult your soul.
I would just ask everybody to ask themselves the question, are my actions and decisions benefiting the ecosystems on this planet?
That's deep.
I mean, you know, typical tree hugger stance.
Can you say that again?
Are my actions and or decisions benefiting the ecosystems of the planet?
Okay.
Like, am I shopping local? You know, buying local produce instead of buying the blueberries that were, you know, grown in Argentina and then shipped to Thailand and then packaged and then shipped to California and then a label was put on it and then it was trucked across to Georgia and then some local, you know, shipping company moved them into the Whole Foods. You know, how much carbon did that emit versus me eating seasonal local food? You know?
Yeah.
And the things that I'm supporting, is the soil getting better? Or is it being extracted of its nutrients? Hmm. Grass-fed beef.
Okay. That was really nice. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I think we'll leave it at that. No. Okay. Do you want me to ask you more questions?
Let's go with another question.
Okay, fine. He wants more questions. Okay.
I like the questions.
You are a Taurus. Okay. Any podcasts, music, or books that you're getting into lately? You mentioned the one Multi-Orgasmic Man.
That's a book, yes. Also, The Carnivore Code by Dr. Paul Saladino. Amazing. Just starting that one as an audiobook. The recent podcast Aubrey? With Aubrey Marcus on the Aubrey Marcus podcast. And today was listening to Dr. Saladino's interview with
Dave Asprey
on Bulletproof Radio. So, music, I really just want everybody to go on SoundCloud and search Cut Rugs and just listen to some really grimy dubstep. Some really dark, wubby, awesome.
Oh my god. Maybe it's I'll good. Share that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Our GoPro, it looks
that
like
GoPro's, it's good. It's okay, still got a little
so
bit
we'll
of
do
juice.
Two more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and just to note, the Aubrey Marcus podcast with Dr.
Saladino
will give you more information if you're looking for more information on just a carnivore diet or even just a little bit about keto. Is it dying?
3, 2, 1 Oh, no. Goodbye.
Is it going to save?
Yeah, it's saved.
Oh, okay. Well, that
and now the listeners on the podcast get to hear what goes beyond the YouTube video.
Well, yeah, it's okay. We'll just edit that part out at the very end. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that podcast is super good. I highly recommend. And so two more questions.
Yeah. Then.
Are there any plants or crystals that you feel particularly drawn to right now?
Plants. I keep finding Datura everywhere. Everywhere out here, I keep finding freaking Datura. I'm, like, doing door-to-door sales. Not as a sales, but, you know, canvassing, like I said earlier. And I keep finding freaking Datura plants everywhere in everybody's garden. And I'm like, you know, these are, like, real dangerous, especially if you got kids. Like,
yeah.
But these old ladies, they just want to grow Datura. I'm sure they have no idea that it's, like, super toxic and could put them in a delirious hallucination.
Interesting. So maybe you don't feel particularly drawn to it.
Oh, no, it's just drawing me in.
It keeps finding you for whatever reason. Interesting. Well, maybe you need...
I think it's pretty.
Maybe you need to meditate with her and
see... Datura strontimonium, I think.
And see what she shares with you.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last one... For those who maybe don't know, and maybe Joe doesn't even know.
I do know.
What's your sun sign, rising Taurus. Sign, and your moon?
Double Taurus and Cancer?
No!
I don't know what my moon sign is.
He's a Scorpio.
Oh, I'm a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah. So... Well, there's that. Thank you so much, hun, for tuning in.
For tuning in. Yeah, yeah. No, thank you for tuning in.
Tuning into yourself and sharing yourself with the listeners. And thank you to everyone listening for tuning in at and in whatever time and space you're listening to this.
Oh, yeah. Love for everyone.
And I have some episodes coming up and some interviews. I'm definitely going to be investing more of my time into my podcast now that we're settled here in Asheville. And stay tuned for some of the bigger projects in the works here, some of the creations that we are going to be birthing hopefully pretty soon.
If any of you listeners out there, wherever you are, if you need a Reiki session, don't hesitate to ask. I got you.
Yeah, and we didn't really get into the specifics of his business launch, but basically he's expanding his Reiki practice and is accepting new clients at sliding scale, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's just talk.
Yeah.
I'm down to negotiate. And if you're really in need, I got you, fam.
Yeah.
Money ain't no thing to me.
Yeah, so hit him up for Reiki. He's got some powerful energies. And universal energies that come through.
She's a Reiki practitioner, too.
And, yeah, I am. It's not, like, the focus of my practice right now. But definitely something that I will be utilizing and going deeper with at some point in the future. But, yeah. So, there's that. And I hope you all have a beautiful week and month and rest of the days, and we will talk to you soon.
Adios. Have a good one. Much love, guys. Thank you.
you'll begin to believe in the power of your thought. You'll begin to believe in the goodness of this universe. You'll begin to believe in the worthiness of your being. You'll begin to believe in the power of who you are. You'll begin to believe that all things are possible. You will begin to believe that you can be or do or have anything. Perfect diversity coming into vibrational alignment with who you really are.